Let's praise the Lord again. Put your hands together for Jesus. Thank you. Amen. We're so blessed with the worship team. And our brother Jeff said, you may be seated. I sat down too. I said, is there going to be more? You know, I really do hope for each of you here, family of God, maybe if you're visiting, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we have a wonderful, loving God that we can celebrate every day. And it causes us to transcend our circumstances when we put our eyes on Him. And so yes, worship is a vital part of the life of the Christian. And if you're here today and maybe you have questions about the faith, or if you're logging in online, I sure hope and pray that the Lord Jesus would meet you right where you're at and you find Him to be the joy and treasure of your soul. Excited to be here. Yeah, praise the Lord. Glad to be here. Glad to be back. It's every time being here is like really a family reunion. Community Bible Church by far will be a treasure in my heart that I'll take to see Jesus with. Just know that. I was sharing earlier, Eleanor somewhere out here, I had been in pastorate many years ago, and when I served in relief and development in Africa and in certain parts of Eastern Europe, I came back and was comparing the persecuted church with the American church, and quite frankly, it caused me to do a Michael Jackson, because I'm just speaking from the heart. I felt that there's so much of a materialistic grip on American church, and we really don't know what it means to suffer for Jesus. And so that landed heavily in my own life, like, ooh, I'm going to these places thinking I'm encouraging them, and they're actually encouraging me. I'm getting Bible 101 in these other places. But I say all that to say, God is alive and well here in America too. And He loves us here too. And He loves Community Bible Church. So I say this, to God be the glory, the great things He has done at CBC and will do at CBC. And I thank God for you and just even reigniting my heart as it relates to pastoral ministry and even the work in the chaplaincy. So to God be the glory for all that He does and He's doing. Amen. And just by the way of more thanks, thank you, each of you, for your love, your prayers for me, my wife, my kids, family. Thank you for such delicious treats, which I have. Hope nobody stole them. They're around here somewhere. So you see that red bag in the back? That's mine. Nobody take them. You know, I'm tempted to go back and get it. Joe, you got it. You got my bag, right? Okay, get my bag. Just saying, somebody's like, whoa, look at all this stuff. No. But yeah, so you know how to pray for me. Let me also say, as we rejoice, I get excited to hear about what God's doing here, the men's Bible study in James. James is, that's a workout. I got a gym membership, and there's certain parts I can work out, I feel good about, but they're like, hey, we're going to work on your core today, Charles. Like, ooh. And work on your stomach, all that. This is hard. And if you walk in the Bible, there are going to be some things that will hit all of us hard. And the book of James is a spiritual workout. So kudos to the men. And as Pastor Ron said, as the Jeffs and Jims, or there's pretty much half of the church men there. So brothers, go for it. And that's a wonderful thing. And then kudos, Debbie, with leading that study with our sisters. That's going to touch the heart and how really this is where God meets us at. And when this is changed, that affects everything. Wow. I also rejoice that your mission, following Jesus, making disciples, impacting the world, that God has called the pastor, Pastor Trevor. So let's thank God for him and God's call. Yeah. And his service to the Lord and your service to the Lord, and all together you go forward. So just keep on it. Don't give up. And it's a team effort. And I'll be getting into it in a bit. There's something about even the name of this church, Community Bible Church, that bringing Christ to the community. And that, quite frankly, is a very different trend. Many churches, and I've been to quite a few of them, kind of retreat from the fight. As opposed, Jesus says, go make the disciples. And so, praise God that you're willing to be a kingdom colony for Jesus right here in Ventura. Amen? So with that, we're going to look at the angelic announcement in Scripture today. And happy to worship the Lord with you. And whoever's paging me, pray for that person. I'm in church. Y'all should know that. And we're going to go to Jesus together. Father, as we take time now just to bow and reflect on your goodness to us, we're grateful for your grace. We're grateful that the world that you made that at one time was in rebellion against you, and even to today, you sent the greatest expression of peace, and we have peace through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so towards your glory, towards your honor and towards your praise, may your word be made clear. May it be evident that it is you that's indeed King of Kings, and may your people be blessed. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. That's where we'll be today. And the initial verses, I believe I gave to the men and for the slides was verses 8 through 20. And bear with me, we're going to go back a little bit further to the first verse and just to look at the scriptures here. And in this angelic announcement, just some things that we'll observe from the scripture. And I hope as you're praying with me, as you look at Luke's account of the life of Jesus Christ, a little bit of a background. If you read the book, the very first chapter, he's writing to a man named Theophilus, Greek man. Name means lover of God. And it's a careful account of the events of Jesus. So Luke is writing the history of Jesus. In fact, if you want to have a devotional, you might want to read Luke Acts, because those two books together, Luke Acts, give you a really big sweep of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ and how it flows into the apostles. And it's a beautiful book. There's prophecy mentioned here. And one of the most beautiful things about Luke is that you see how this man who was a Greek physician, who was called to faith in Christ, you see how the kingdom of God was not only to the Jewish people in which it was promised, but to Gentiles as well. And Luke will show a lot of people who would be like on the outside, like the leper or the poor or the woman caught in adultery. You see how God's kingdom hits people who are up and out and down and out. You see the global scope, how Christ came to save men. Another observation, and we'll walk through this, we'll reflect as we read the second chapter how there's some kings mentioned, two in particular. We'll look at messengers mentioned, and then we'll look at the message itself. Kings, messengers, and the message. These are just bookmarkers so that if you write notes, you'll see this in the text. So I read. It's helpful to put some glasses on as I do that. Verse 1. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, and in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and then the baby, as Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they had made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. Amen. The angelic announcement. In Luke chapter 2, we see something really wonderful in this gospel account. We see recorded a history of the life of the Jewish people and the history of the entrance of the Messiah, the Anointed One, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the birth of Jesus Christ. And combined with this historical event, we even see a marker as to the history of the Roman Empire, where Caesar Augustus gives this decree. And one of the most beautiful things about the Bible is we see events that actually took place in history. So this was a real event that occurred. And what is also mind-boggling is while it records an event that took place in the natural realm, we're also seeing things that are occurring in the spiritual realm. And that, for some, could be a challenge, because the Bible does record real things and events that happen in the natural, but they also record real things that happen supernaturally as well. And that, for some, can be a challenge. But may I submit to you, beyond what the skeptics would say, or even, I think of Thomas Jefferson, he was one of the presidents that would cut anything that was supernatural out of the Bible. Beyond man's philosophy, our God and our Creator is just as real and more real than anything that we can see. Life itself is a blessing, and it's one of the spiritual blessings that our God and our Creator has given to us. And so in Luke chapter 2, we see this historical marker where it says, "In the days a decree or order was given by Caesar Augustus," Octavius, one of the many Caesars. This was like the earliest of Caesars. And he's demanding that everyone goes to their land of origin and that a census be taken. Now, if you're aware, one of the instruments of being taxed is a census. Okay, we got 500 that live over here. We got 1 million that live over there. We're getting an account of people all across the Roman Empire. And in this moment, I have to kind of hold back the inner nerd in me, because the Romans were some brutal people. They killed, they conquered, and their empire stretched as far east as India and as far west going up into Britannia and to the British Isles all around there. And they were very industrious. They had roadways. They had systems of moving without. But each of those areas were taxed. And they had something that was called, you probably heard me mention, the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome. And basically, how you had peace within Rome is you had to go along to get along. And if you did not, that's how it was. A little bit of extra studies. If you're interested in this kind of subject matter, there's a man by the name of Suetonius.
He was a historian. He wrote a book, I believe it's called The 12 Caesars. In seminary, we had to read it. And the Caesars were a mad lot. They were a rogues gallery of some of the most wicked kings you would ever want to even read about. After you read that, and your eyebrows have been burned off. And this particular Caesar was one of the first. He's actually one of the nicer of ones. He was strategic. He was diplomatic. He was a warrior in the sense that his armies would take and annex an area. And actually, under his leadership, was probably one of the more peaceful experiences of the Roman Empire. Why am I going through all this? Amidst the darkness of the Roman Empire, the bright light of the true king would come. Amen. And that lets us know today that no matter what earthly power here or anywhere else tries to exert or flex itself, they can no way compete with the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. And I hope you're happy about that. I know I'm happy about that. So it's during this time that the census goes out, and Quirinius was a general. And he had command over the Syrian area, and they were able to put down the rebellions. So there's a lot of movement, geopolitical things going on in this text. And yet, the promised Messiah would come through Mary. Mary and Joseph would make their way back to their hometown. There in Nazareth, Jesus would be born. And so, two kings mentioned in this text. The first, an earthly ruler and a historical landmark. And by the way, the Roman Empire eventually fell. But there's a kingdom that will have no end. Did you catch that? And this is important at Christmas to reflect upon because it gives us stability. It gives us inner resilience because if we lean on that king, we can have an inner resolve to keep walking with him. And if we get off track, we can get back on track and repent. Amen? Amen? Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Two kings. Let's talk about the messengers. Well, the Bible describes and shows occurrences of messengers that come from the throne of God. These spiritual creatures will show up, the holy elect angels, to do God's will and to say, "Thus saith the Lord." And you see this pattern from the Old Testament to the New throughout scriptures that the holy angels, when they show up, they're on assignment and they're bringing a message from God. In fact, Angelos, messenger, that was the main thing that they do. Now, if you read, and you can read this and study it for yourself, sometimes they were sent out to wage war. And if they showed up, and like in the case with Egypt, when they showed up during those plagues, it's a dangerous thing. The Bible describes the holy angels. I don't want to go too far afield, jump into a topical study, but you can read in Revelation, I believe Revelation 13, where there were a third of them that rebelled against God. And they fell. Along with Satan, who was an angel, is an angel too, but they are called demons. Now, that's a study all of its own. By the way, be grounded as you pray and read Scripture. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, love, power, and a sound mind. People, when they get involved in angelology studies, can literally lose their mind. And I've come across a few. I also say that there are people in our society that are demonized. Can y'all handle this morning? Because just as the Lord has a message to his holy angels, people who live in rebellion against their God open doorways and invite other messengers that are not from God but from Satan. And you may be talking to a person, but you're talking to a couple other people in that person. Now, I'm not saying this that we go around being judgmental or act like Ghostbusters and stuff and let me get some holy water and sprinkle them with it. Because I have a lot of family and friends at Pentecostal or Bible bashing. But Jesus says, some instances, these ones only go but by prayer and fasting. And oftentimes, pray for ourselves, create me a clean heart, right spirit. But if you detect someone and they're not quite right, Jesus, I don't know what's going on here. You love this person. Help me to love them too. And Jesus, you said the truth will set you free. I've seen that. It's a long aside, but let's get into the message. So here it is, messengers. These holy messengers show up to shepherds who are watching sheep by night. And we can kind of just run by that. But would you consider that your God and Creator, in announcing the birth of the true King, chose to announce it in some of the most humblest of places? He didn't go to the palace. He didn't go to so-and-so Maximus in his halls where he's raising cups to all his victories. He showed up with folks out there watching sheep. It'd be like the 11 o'clock shift and you're working fries at McDonald's and Jesus walks through the door. For all that I think of those dear janitors and environmental workers that are mopping the floors 2 a.m, hey, chaplain, how you doing? The ones that are praying for our patients who are passing or struggling to live and they're in there cleaning, sometimes cleaning up blood and all kinds of stuff and praying at the same time. Jesus Christ cares for those who are in the lowest of places. I love that about Jesus. So these men are out there, maybe there's some women too, watching sheep by night during the Roman Empire. And they received the greatest message that the world could ever get. Do you see, does that cause you to love Jesus a bit more? And by the way, do we need that message today? Yeah. So as we gather here to worship, who in this neighborhood, maybe next door, maybe down the street, maybe that person who's emptying the trash, or maybe your mailman who's picking it up, or maybe the lady at the counter, you know, who has 40 people in line and they're being rude. Is there somebody who needs to hear that? If you've received it, give it. And may I also say, and I'm all for preaching. You know, we as preachers, we're like Yosemite Sam. Pow, pow, pow. I got one for you. Pow, pow, pow. We hit him with John 3:16. No. Sometimes it's listening to people. How are you? Can I pray for you? You know, you're always helping us here in this line. Thank you. Here's a tip for all that you do for us here. And you will be surprised how many people, just by showing the love of God and being His messenger, because that person, it can literally be what saves their life. The angels gave a message, and the shepherds received that message, and they were going to pass it on too. Look at God. God, who is full of truth, power. He could have kept the gospel all to himself, but he would entrust it to regular folk like me and you and us to share some good news. So, two messengers there. You read in the text, after they see Jesus and they see these things that had happened, they go on and they share it with everybody else. And I hope this Christmas you share it too. Sometimes with words. Let's look at the message. My bad on the dad jokes. The Yosemite Sam thing came to mind. I got some seminary professors like, oh, there he goes again.
notice that when the angels appeared, let's look at the message, which is the gospel, verse 10. Do not be afraid, which is a regular phrase of angels. Whenever they show up, they have to calm people down first. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So the gospel that the angels, or the good news that they presented, that there is a person born who came to save people from sin. And that's good news. And this is what mankind needs, because even our conscience, guilt, like, that's a spiritual thing. And I could ask, who here has ever felt guilty or felt wrong or felt shame about something you've done? And more than likely, everybody's hand would go up. But guilt or shame is not something that I could physically touch. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit convicts men of sin and righteousness. So that guilt is a reminder that somebody's going to have to pay for this. The good news is somebody did. Your Savior and mine. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what makes Christmas merry. That's what makes Christmas special. That's what makes living this life with hope, because your God and my God loves us like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! I was talking with Brother Pastor Mark in the back. I said, you know what? Whether somebody prays for me or I'm reminded of the love of God, I feel like it's like Popeye and spinach. You feel good, because and even the sense of this Holy Spirit, you know that he's there. It's like, oh God, thank you for loving me like that. And that's not like the world. World is transactional. I'm 54 and I feel like I'm learning things all over again. In my secular work, I sometimes contract and work with organizations and companies, and I've had the privilege, I'm still a lightweight, but to be in rooms with some heavyweights, I'm like, wow, this person is doing quite well. And I've seen people who do that without Jesus and ones that do. And I met some folks where it's like, clearly, power is your God. What I'm feeling right now, you might have amassed a lot, but what I'm talking to, and this is a person that's cold. Where will you stand when you go before your God on that great day? Then I've dealt with some that God has blessed so abundantly, and they have not gotten the big head at all, and they have so much joy within, and they're able to just enjoy their life and not be fazed by all the trappings. And now I'm like, that's why God blessed them. And to see the stark contrast, it's instructive to me, and God is like, Charles, now you get to choose. I'm going to stick with Jesus. Because what profits a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? That's what those Caesars, sadly many of them did. So the message is good news. Savior, who is Christ the Lord? So for the Jewish people who are waiting for their Messiah, he's saying, this is it. The anointed one, this is it. He is the king. And his rule and his kingdom is heart to heart. You read history. As time went on, the Roman Empire went on, and eventually it fractured and it broke. And Christianity grew. It's an amazing story. Allow me a moment to nerd out. Some of the worst martyrdoms were under the Roman Empire. Lions,
gladiator arenas, all kinds of stuff. And a man by the name of Tertullian out of Africa, he said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And the genuineness of their faith. And these were not perfect people. You heard of Augustine, or Augustine, depending on how you want to say it. his confessions show his own journey to how the Lord became Lord of his life. But I say all this to say is that they received the gospel. And because of it, it grew and grew and grew. And the angels announced it to these shepherds. Yes, Christ, who is Kyrios, Lord. This one is Master. Not Kaiser Kyrios, Jesu Kyrios. What a difference. But the message also went on with this benediction. As the angels departed and they saw a heavenly host, and when you hear the word host, think armies. Oftentimes, we don't think of angels as like warriors. Some of the artwork of the Renaissance era, think of those nice little cherubs and little puffy babies, you know, like think about my kids. Oh, look, a little cherub. No, angels, when they showed up, if they weren't bringing a message that was a blessing and they brought judgment, look out. But a whole host and army lights up the sky, and this message that they're bringing is blessing and glory to God to some of the most lowest folks in the land. Kind of get that in your mind. And these words are this, and then I got to go on because I can camp out here. Yep, you know that's right. I hope you guys are praying. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. This good news, which is for all kinds of people, stretches between Jew and Gentile, across nations, across people, and God is saving and redeeming a people from among all peoples of the world. And as you look around here at CBC, I hope you can sense his work at doing that right here, right where you are, and extending, and we welcome even our brothers and sisters from the missions journey, that this is what he's doing and still doing. And this doxology, if you will, let me say it that right, we get the word glory, doke, glory to God in the highest. The high God is worthy of the highest of honor. In the Old Testament, this word is used again with regard to the holiness of God, and the angels are saying, this is where all the glory goes. And that's a good way to live. You read in the book of Revelation, jumping again, a little bit of a topical here, angels fly around the throne of God, and the refrain is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of his glory. So we are invited into experiencing him in these ways. It is a beautiful thing to behold his glory through Christ, through his word, to experience his glory in our lives. And may I say to you, when we serve him and lift him up in a way that people see that it's Jesus at work in us, he gets the glory. He says, let your light so shine before men, people will see your good works and glorify God. Do that. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among men with whom he's pleased. This is the message. And oh, does the world need peace? He brings this. He offers this. He sent it. He, the true king, used his messengers, angels and men, and the message is that we have peace through him. So for those shepherds who went and discovered Jesus in the manger for themselves, they went back and shared it with other people. So CBC, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, I wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. Let's give praise to God for him. We come to a close in talking to the elders. We want to take time for prayer. Christmas may not be merry for some of us, I want you to know that it's a safe place to pray. It might be burdensome. You may have had to say goodbye to some along the way, or you may be in the midst of a tough time. This may be one of the safest places you have, because you going home may be going home to not having peace, or having people in your life that may not be loving you the way Jesus does. Just in talking with Pastor Ron and the elders, want to invite the elders and their wives up. We want to have prayer. So if you would like to have someone pray for you or with you, we're going to invite them to be at different parts of the church sanctuary, if I'm on point. And let's go to the one who's the Prince of Peace. And as we close, I hope in Jesus' name that each of us can somehow reflect, not just in our lives to others, but also receive it for ourselves, that great joy and love that he has for us. All right? So I'm going to pray. And in fact, we'll make sure I'm in order here. Do you want to come forward, brother, and maybe share some music? We're going to take a little time to pray, and then we'll close. Father, in the name of Jesus, our times are in your hands. We're grateful for this opportunity to worship you. And we're grateful for the peace that has been sent to us through Jesus. So towards that end, meet each and every one of us at our greatest points of need. Lift any lowered head. Give encouragement to any heavy heart. And grant the grace and peace and strength to worship you as the shepherds did, and to share your message. In Jesus' name, amen.